so many tales of ancient Rome, and I hope that all of our dear listeners will go out and secure a copy to learn more. We think they should learn more. And before you go, I want you to plug your podcast, which I know are out there, and I'm sure many listeners are going to want to go to it to hear more there.
I have a podcast I'm very excited about. I started it less than a year ago. It's called Antiquitas, Leaders and Legends of the Ancient World. And in the first season, I talk about eight great ancient leaders, from the mythical Achilles and Helen of Troy down to Julius Caesar. In the second season, a shorter season, I talked about the assassination of Julius Caesar and its consequences. And I'm about to start recording a third season on great ancient battles. The podcast Antiquitas, it's available on iTunes and all major platforms. It's been very popular. I've gotten wonderful feedback on it, and I encourage you all to listen to it.
And I do note as we close that we are recording this in July, named after Julius Caesar. And, of course, next month, Augustus took a look at that and said, I want a month, too. And that's why August is named after him.
Yes.
Barry Strauss, I want to thank you so much for speaking with us.
You're welcome. My pleasure. Thanks so much for having me.
That pretty much does it for today's program, which was produced by Edward McMillan. I'm Douglas Everett. You've been listening to Radio Parallax. At this point, we're going to commence a summer hiatus, but we expect to be speaking to you again sometime around Labor Day. And you know, we may slip an original show in between now and then, but if we don't, have a good summer.
Hot town, summer in the city, back of my neck getting dirt and gritty.
You are listening to FM 90.1 KCFR Chico, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. This is not Gail, but this is Sandra sitting in for Dr. Gail. And Dr. Gail is made possible by Arts, a state local partner under the California Arts. Since 2001, Deborah Lucero and Friends of the Arts have been creating community festivals and events, including Arttoberfest, the True North, and visit Friends of the Arts upstate.org, and by the Down Chico for over 40 years, the DCBA. Street, the Christmas preview, the tree lighting, and much more. For .com, help keep Chico vibrant. So I've got some. I'm gonna click on all these mics, see which one's working. Let's see. Say hello. Start off with Teresa.
Hello.
There we go. And Teresa, tell us where you work.
I work at the Work Training Center in Chico, California.
Okay. And then, on our second mic here?
Wendy Longwell from Disability Action Center.
Nice. Okay. And we're just going to kind of have each of them talk a little bit of a background of what they're doing, maybe how they got where they are. And then we're also going to let people call in if they'd like. And the number was 530-895-1114. Is that right? Yeah. So if people want to call in and ask direct questions to these people, please feel free to do that. But, you know, Rochambeau, she's pointing to Wendy. Okay, Wendy's going to start.
Okay, so at the Disability Action Center, our goal is to help people with disabilities stay independent in their life. So we work with various people with various disabilities of all ages and work on the areas that they're wanting to gain independence in or to keep their independence in. And we have specialized grants for like traumatic brain injury for individuals who are losing their vision, and many others come up, and we grab the grants as we go, because our whole goal at Disability Action Center is that we give all of our services free to those who would like our services. Our most popular one is probably our durable medical equipment, where we get wheelchairs up to hospital beds, walkers, all donated to us, and we repair and clean them and then rehome them for free to individuals who need them. So that's probably our most popular program that we have.
All right. Thank you so much. And Teresa.
Well, the Work Training Center has a lot of different programs with adults with developmental disabilities. We do job training. We do work experience. We work with the Department of Rehab and provide services through them. We're a pretty extensive program.
Tell me more about the dog training. I have never heard about
it. Well, we do recycling, and we have a nursery.
Oh, I thought I heard you say dog training.
Oh, job.
Job training. Oh, yes. Okay, right, recycling,
yes.
Yeah. I've supported that.
Good.
Yeah. And you said gardening?
Gardening, there's a nursery, Prestige Nursery, which is on First Street, and they have an active nursery there that people can go and buy plants from.
Okay,
and
nice.
We do landscaping as well.
That's right, landscaping. Mm-hmm. And then... I feel like there's another department that's more something boxes, no?
Well, yes. In Oroville, there's two sites that they build boxes on. And so they work with different wineries and places and sell them to those.
Oh, yeah. Winery boxes.
Yes.
Go figure. Mm-hmm. Okay. How long have you been with WTC?
I've been there this time about 2 years, but I've been with them over three times throughout my career.
Oh.
Since 1991, so I've been around the area for a long time.
Mm-hmm. And how did you get there?
Well, I had a friend that actually works there now. She's a director, but she hired me back in 1991, and I moved away and came back, and I came back about 2 years ago. So,
nice.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. And we'll bounce back to Wendy.
Okay.
I know you're new to the staff.
Yeah, I've been at Disability Action Center for almost a year, not quite yet. But I've been working in the disability field for 16 years. I have a son who is 24, and he has spina bifida and hydrocephalus. So he is who introduced me to this world, and decided that as we moved along our journey, learning how to access services and to get programs that he needed, that I needed to be able to share that knowledge that I had gained to help other people, because it's not always easy to access the services and the programs that people with disabilities need. And so I now share my knowledge with whoever calls and needs it.
Nice. And you've been pretty active down at the Capitol?
Yeah, I'm part of Family Voices of California. They're a grassroots organization that is across the United States, but they concentrate on health issues for people with disabilities and the difficulty you have in accessing specialists to see, you know, their doctors were trained as pediatricians and or adult doctors. And even just 20 years ago, a lot of children didn't make it to adulthood when they were born with disabilities. And so now they are living into adulthood, and the difficulty of finding the specialists that aren't pediatric specialists but still follow their needs is a difficult transition. And so that's what we focus on with Family Voices. So once a year, every spring, we visit the Capitol and make sure everybody is, realizing what bills are out there that are going to help those who have those issues. So, yeah, I've been very active. I've been doing that for probably about 14 years. And my son, Derek, goes with me every year. So I sometimes go down there more than once. Derek does it once a year. And when I go back, they always remind me, "You're Derek's mom, right?" And I'm like,
nice.
Yeah, I'm Derek's mom. So they remember him. But that's the important piece, is that they remember that there's people out there with disabilities that we need to be watching out for, make sure that they have medical care and programs that they need to stay independent.
Awesome. Thanks. Teresa, what other, I'm not sure where we go from here. Have you done work with people with disabilities in any other, I don't know, entity?
Yeah, I've worked with this field for quite a few years. One thing I was going to talk about was that we were recently working with working on getting folks placed in the community. So I've been doing a lot of community employment services.
Okay.
So that's been really successful, and that we're working really hard at getting the folks out in the community working.
Do you work with the Department of Rehabilitation?
Yes, we do that as well. Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, so as kind of we're starting up a new program right now or with that. So we're working with Department of Rehab and doing assessments on folks out in the community and then helping them get jobs out after the assessment. So it's been successful.
Nice.
Yeah, it's really exciting to see that happen.
I like seeing not just the light, but like the end product, the success story.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Very cool. I know, and I almost wanted to be on the panel with y'all. I just want to switch over on that side because I've been doing this, working with people. If I think about when I first sort of started, I was about 15 or 16 as a peer tutor. It was like a high school class where we got to either we chose to work either at a general, regular elementary school or at the time there was a special school for children with special needs. It was a completely separate entity. It was before like the whole integration thing was going on. It's back in the mid-70s in the East Bay. And so I'm like, yeah, that's where I want to be. I just had a calling back then. And so it was just doing, you know, whatever they were doing in the class time, some, you know, basic academics. But then they had the weekend program, and it was fork, knife, spoon, salt, pepper, napkin with a seal a meal, and we were packaging those things for the airlines. Or we had the different colored wax, ski wax, I don't know, the ski wax, and it had a certain label, and it was this like kind of quality control. We'd walk around and help, and we would do it modeling, and then I just remember that the fork, knife, spoon, salt, pepper, napkin, and then the colored wax for the ski wax, which I don't think I've ever really gone skiing and did the whole waxing thing.
Yeah, you just reminded me that back in high school, I actually took a class and worked with kids with special needs, and it was the very first year that they started integrating them into the regular schools, and so I would go there and help, you know, take them to lunch so that they would be in the lunchroom with all the regular ed kids. And then the following year when I graduated, I actually got hired to work in that classroom for a school year, and then we moved away. So, and then I got pulled back in when I had my third child. So,
So
I had that high school experience as well. And so, it's been there for a while.
Definitely. Teresa, how about you?
Yeah, and I just thought about a memory when you were saying that, too, how I got involved. Is that I was working for ARC when I was in college, and I didn't know what major I wanted to be, and I went to their Saturday off program when they used to have that, and I was working for them, and I thought, oh, this is great. So that's how I got involved in recreation.
Nice.
Yeah, therapy. Nice.
Well, I think I'm going to break into a music break, and then I'll try to make a phone call and try to get somebody on our caller line, if I can do that. And we'll regroup. Okay, I think it's like, I'm not sure what kind of music I threw in there. Kind of some relaxing music, I'm hoping. Okay, here we go.
Thank you.
think you're here. That's awesome. Okay. So I'm going to leave microphones on. So tell us your name.
Derek Longwell.
All right. And tell me a little bit about yourself. Your mom gave us a basic, but go ahead. We want to hear it from you.
I'm 24 years old. I was born with spina bifida and hydrocephalus, which, if for people who don't know what spina bifida and hydrocephalus are, spina bifida is a condition where my nerves in the back of my back do not fully develop, and actually developed into a sac in my back that didn't completely go down to my legs like it's supposed to. And hydrocephalus, just a quick rundown of what that is my ventricles do not secrete the fluid that is naturally in my brain like it's supposed to. So what happens is fluid builds up, or if I didn't have something that was called a shunt, which is basically a pump that goes from my brain down to my abdomen, I basically wouldn't be here because of it. I'm an outdoorsy kind of guy, live on 5 acres, been in a wheelchair my entire life. That's basically it.
Hi, I'm still here. If I leave my microphone on, then I can't, we can't hear you speak. But your mom is saying that you ski and that you kayak.
Yes, I do.
Uh-huh. So you're still active?
Yes.
Yeah.
I do not let myself be limited in the activities that I do, even though I am in a wheelchair.
That's great. Let me see. Did anyone, either of you, want to give some props?
Camp? He used to.
Okay. Maybe we can talk about that.
So, Derek, you want to talk about your experience at the
Ability First Camp in Chico? Went to that before you were 18?
Really, because I don't remember it much. It's been a while. I can give little bits of that I remember, but still not a very good spiel.
You want to talk about the group that you do your kayaking and your snow skiing with?
Yeah, I can do that, yes.
Well, share away.
Okay. So the group I go kayaking and snow skiing with is called Sports USA, and what they are is a nonprofit organization who help individuals who are disabled, no matter if it's physical or mental. They help them experience things that they wouldn't normally be able to under the circumstances. So the one thing that is for snow skiing, what I do is it's called a sit ski. And what it is basically, the best way to describe it is basically it's a dog sled that has two regular skis on the bottom of it that I'm able to go down the mountain with it. And for the kayaking, what they do is we meet a couple times every year, and we go to the Klamath, and and kayak down and kayak and raft down the river. So it's a really neat organization for those individuals that have limitations but want to experience things that they wouldn't be able to without the organization.
That sounds great. Let's see, I think Mom had an interjection here. Here we go.
I was just going to say that they are the ones that actually taught Derek to kayak, and now he kayaks completely independently with his service dog. And I'm the one that's sitting in the raft with a guide while he goes down the river in a kayak, and he rarely falls out anymore, but they've even taught him how to get back in the kayak if he does fall out. So it's not only gave him an outdoor experience, but another level of independence as well.
That's awesome. Back to you, Derek.
That was basically it.
And tell me about your service dogs.
Okay, well, I have two service dogs currently. I have a black lab named Princess and a German Shepherd named Callie. Princess is 9 years old, and Callie is a year. I've had Princess since she was about 10 months old. We got her from the Red Bluff shelter, and my mom and I trained her personally. And what she is trained to do is, what she has been trained to do is pull me in my chair, find me if I get lost, and help me get back into the kayak if I fall out. And for one instance, about the second service she does, is the finding me, what happened was we were my mom and I were down in Sacramento talking at the Capitol around disability issues that go that are happening here in California. What happened was I left Princess and my mom at the car, and I had to quickly ran into the hotel, and because I had to use the restroom, and my mom had no idea where I went. So what she did was she got Princess out. She got Princess all put her service dog vest on and everything, and took her into the hotel and told her to find me. And what she did was her nose hit the ground, and she took me to the men's restroom that was not very easy to find for a dog in the big hotel, and she was able to find me, and my mom was able to locate me. And the reason why we have Callie is because she's currently in training, because Prince is getting older, so we're hoping to get Callie trained before Princess has to completely retire.
Gotcha. So are you doing the training?
A combination of myself and my mother, yes.
Nice. And do you guys train other dogs as well?
That is one of our dreams, is to be able to own a nonprofit organization that trains service dogs for physical physical limitations that their owner would have.
Oh, okay. Like what about, so not like people who are like diabetic and drop their blood sugars?
Yeah.
Nothing like that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I was a dog trainer before Derek was born, and had trained many dogs. And so Once I had all four kids, it became more and more difficult for me to do dog training professionally. But I kept going with it, and so I've actually, Callie will be my fourth service dog that I've trained. And I trained a lot of where I would call them more companion dogs. So they were people like with canes, and so they were wanting to teach their dogs how to walk with their canes so that they wouldn't pull the cane out from underneath them and that kind of thing. So I did a lot of that type of behavioral training so that dogs could walk along their owners in walkers and canes without tripping their owners. So Derek is correct. Our dream on the 5 acres that we live on is to build a kennel and rescue dogs from shelters and then train them to be service dogs and then to be able to give them away at low cost, because a service dog can cost you minimum around $15,000. So I think there's some places that do it for free, but there's a 2+ year waiting list. And so I would like to be able to help out with that so that there's not such a long waiting list, but also on the other side, helping the unwanted dogs that are left in the dog pounds.
Yeah, and I think there might be a few candidates after the campfire. The shelter, I believe, has a few unclaimed dogs. Just, Teresa, did you want to ask Derek anything? No?
What does he do when he's not kayaking and snowshoeing and things like that?
Derek?
Me?
She asked you a question about,
yes.
What do you do when you're not...
Okay. I heard that. I just wasn't sure if that was for me. Currently, 2 days a week, I am an employee at Disability Action Center, where Wendy and Sandra currently work. My main tasks are answering the phone, answering general questions that anybody would need answered. Doing a weekly housing list for low income housing for the County of Shasta. I also help with I don't know if they have touched on the DME program that Disability Action Center has, but I help with the paperwork that needs to be filled out, since Disability Action Center is a federally and state funded, so they ask for us to be able to give out free durable medical equipment. They ask us to fill out a packet to submit into our database. And when I'm not working there at Disability Action Center, I am with my brother, hanging out with him, going to the movies, playing video games, just bunch of young guy stuff is the best way I can describe it.
That was perfect.
How old are you, Derek?
I am 24.
College?
Point to me.
Okay.
Sorry. Go ahead.
Ever thought about going to college?
I have, but due to my hydrocephalus, which I touched on earlier, I have had 13 brain surgeries, or shunt surgeries, I should say, and it has really taken a toll on my short-term and long-term memory. So I tried going to college, but it wasn't for me because of my memory issues.
Thank you for sharing that. That's very nice to hear.
So you want to share some of your other things that you do, like your wood workshop, the orchard that you take care of, those types of things?
Well, I help my mother out here with the animals on our 5 acres. We have an orchard of about, I would say,
help me out here, probably 10 trees and a couple bushes. Would you say that?
We have a few more than that, Derek.
Okay. My bad. Okay. So I water the orchard every day and help out with that. I also help feed and water the animals that we have. I currently have 2 pigs, a goat, and a cow that I personally bought little fed. So. And then I work in my wood shop whenever I can get out there. I currently have, I've worked on refinishing a fish tank stand. I've done little bird houses and little shelves and little odds and little creations that I've come up with.
Okay. And you guys had a lot of goats there for a while, right?
Yes, we did.
We actually, we've had to get rid of some of our larger animals due to a car accident that we were in, and just, I can't keep up with all of it, but Derek, has the animals that he listed are all animals that he bottle fed and trained, and so, I think he should go into a little bit more detail what he has trained his pig to do, because I think it's very cute to watch. And this is a regular size 250-pound pig, so this isn't a little tiny pig.
Yeah. So what I have taught Charlie is his name. I've taught him to sit. I've taught him to dance, which is just going around in a circle. And I have also taught him to pretty sit, which basically is just him trying to sit on his big round butt and lift his front hoofs up off the ground to get a treat.
I can't imagine. I just can't imagine that. Oh, man. Let's see. So have you ever been to any other camps? I know I got to be a camp counselor. Camp counselor over at Ronald McDonald Camp in Eagle Lake. Have you ever been? Do you know anything about that?
No, that doesn't ring a bell.
Okay. I think... Yeah, we have ramps. I'm trying to think. Yeah, we have people in wheelchairs. There's ramps. It's like a 1 week. It's usually like in July or August, and I'm not sure how the selection process is. I'm pretty sure it's free to the families because it's a Ronald McDonald Foundation. But it's pretty cool, and the lake is really shallow. And I don't know. They have one camp counselor that does all the activities and the other one that splits everybody up and trains everybody. And it's kind of cabins and 2 adults per cabin and maybe 6 to 10 campers, kind of age group and by gender. And I don't know. I think it's a lot of fun. I haven't done it for a few years, but I had so much fun doing that. Campfire at night, sing the songs, do a talent show. And, yeah, it's...
You remember your camping trip in Yosemite that you went on with?
No, but the one thing that I do remember about the Ability First camping is a gist of what they do there at Ability First is I don't know how they do it. We stay in a dorm building at Chico State, and they have a bunch of sports activities that they put on for a week. They usually campers get there on either late Sunday or early Monday, and go home on Saturday, and the sports activities that I remember that I did there are basketball, wheelchair basketball, wheelchair field hockey, wheelchair tennis,
wheelchair rugby, and I remember your water skiing.
There's wow, that, water that. Skiing. That sounds cool.
There. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I was just going to say with Derek, I always had to be careful where I take him because he has so many medical issues that I always had to make sure there was a nurse present. And also, he, because of all of his brain surgeries for the shunt, it's messed up his internal thermostat. So if he's like a lizard or a snake, he's whatever temperature his environment is. So in the summer, he either has to be in the water or up in the mountains where it's cooler. So I had to be very careful on what camps that I picked that I sent him to. So usually it was up in the mountains where I sent him. So it was high altitude. And one time it was at Yosemite. They actually rode hand-propelled bikes and camped out under the stars. So he doesn't remember that one, but I do because he came home just thrilled about all the experiences that he'd had with it. So we go to the ocean at least once a year. That we're getting ready to go the end of this month. We'll be going down to Monterey Bay, as I've been told there's ADA beaches down there, so we're going to go check them out and see. Derek has always been, he loves water. I don't know how many people down here in Butte County are familiar with Whiskey Town up in Shasta County, but there's an area that's called Brandy Creek, and I'd always take him there and his siblings there when he was little because there was lifeguards. So I figured that I had help watching four kids going separate directions. And Derek would always, they had a pathway down to the water. So Derek would park at the end of the pathway and then just dive into the water. And he is a fish. He'd be out there. And I remember one time sitting there in the shade watching my kids. And this lady goes over to the lifeguard and she goes, "That wheelchair's been there for an awfully long time. Is that person okay?" And the lifeguard's, "Oh, yeah, he's right out there. I can see him by the dock out there."
Did you remember doing all that swimming back when you were younger?
Yes, I do remember Brandy Creek. It's sad to hear that. That probably, I don't believe Brandy Creek got hit, but that whole area around Brandy Creek got the car fire, which was unfortunate.
Yeah, that was a little over a year ago, right?
Yeah.
I remember that because we have an office in Reading, and I remember going up there, and yeah, it was scary. Okay, is there anything else you want to tell people about yourself or just about life in general, having an extra abilities or disabilities, or, you know, when you go shopping with your mom or, you know, being out in public, any great words of wisdom for Radio Land?
Well, I got to think about that for a second. For the younger generation and or for the people who didn't have a disability but then something happened that completely flipped your life upside down, just keep your life up, or your head up. It always gets better no matter what you're going through. You just have to be able to find the courage and the strength through the people that are around you, your doctors, whatever, what have you, to look for strength when you feel down. That's the one thing that I have learned throughout my years of being a paraplegic for all my life, is whenever I feel down or in the dumps for whatever reason, I always talk it out with my mother so I can get her guidance, since she's going through the same path or same life in respect to having somebody in her life with a disability. So you can always don't keep things bottled up. Always express them. It's always easier to express them than to keep them bottled up, because it's healthy for you to keep things bottled up, which I have learned throughout my years.
Those are great words of wisdom. I liked that. Again, Mom.
Oh, sure, you put it over to me
after
she says that.
I know.
Are you
clipped?
Saying thank you, Mom. It's nice to hear when not very often do moms get to hear thank you for what you've done for your kids, no matter whether your kid has a disability or not. So it's nice to hear Derek say thank you. I can't imagine my life without him. He has made me grow with the things that we've gone through together. And I don't know what I would have done without him.
Oh, wow. Okay. I will turn that mic off now. Oh, boy. Derek, thank you so much for doing this call with us. I'm proud of you for that. That was just amazing. We just kind of threw that on you. And thank you again for... Wow. You're amazing. So...
Thank
a very, very awesome role model to us all. And I think I'll let you go. We kept you on the phone for a little over half an hour, and I'll do another reading. And if there's any last thing, you kind of said it all. You hit it at the heart. So I will let you go. And again, thank you so much. And I'll probably see you Thursday, but in a couple of Thursdays.
Yep. All right.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay, and Ask Dr. Gale is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFAR supporters and by Square Deal Mattress Factory, making handcrafted mattresses right here in Chico since 1920. Family-owned and run, Square Deal offers bedding, furniture, upholstery, and mattresses with a lifetime comfort guarantees. The Square Deal showroom is located at 1354 Humboldt Avenue and is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Visit SquareDealMattress.com and get that great night's sleep. And by Grocery Outlet of Chico, an independent owner and operator, Chris Hotz, I can never say this, Hostetler offers local and fine brand names in groceries, housewares, health and beauty products, and more. They even have organic items and fine wines. They're open 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. Monday through Friday, and on the weekends, 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. They're at 2157 Pillsbury Road, next to Kmart in Chico. Find them on Facebook and at groceryoutlet.com. Well, coming up in a little under 15 minutes, it's peanut butter jelly time. So as your groovy grandma, I will see you in about 15 minutes. And then I'm going to stay on for Face the Music, 7 for Terry, 7:30 to 10 o'clock tonight. And I'm not sure who's bluesing tonight, but that's 10 to midnight. Okay, I'm going to put the ladies back on and see. Maybe Teresa. We'll start with Teresa. She's shaking her head. No, say it ain't so. Let's see. Oh, I know. Well, I'll just talk a little bit then. I actually am a former special ed teacher, which I had thought I'd. Didn't think I would ever, I don't know, I wanted to do it. I wasn't sure. I didn't start college till my late 40s. I'd been an instructional assistant in a special ed classroom. Now they call them paraprofessionals. In a special ed classroom probably since, off and on, since I was about 18. And then took a different path, got into graphic arts, and then found myself back in the classroom again in the late 80s in the East Bay. And then I moved up to Southern Oregon, Klamath Falls. And then that's where I started my college journey in my late 30s, early 40s. And what did I do? I started with kind of going into medicine. I was trying to get into the RN program. I actually was in an RN program. So I have a pretty extensive medical background with all the prereqs for that, you know, the chemistry and the biochemistry and biology, microbiology, pharmacology, psychopharmacology. I loved it. Hated it in high school. Loved it as an adult. And then I found myself just kind of bypassing that whole nursing program and getting into an applied psychology program, knowing I could get into a special ed program, a teaching credential in Southern Oregon University in Ashland. And it was a one-year program, a one-year master's program, and it kicked me down. It was hard. I was a single mom. I had two daughters and not a lot of emotional, and all my family was in the Bay. So I did this all by myself. And then I said, I need to split it into 2 years. So my professors let me split up the workload. And so I could work and go to school and kind of do a little bit of both. And then I got it. And I couldn't find a teaching job. Teaching jobs were hard to find in Southern Oregon. And I didn't want to commute over the mountain to go back into Klamath. I wanted to stay in Ashland or the Medford area. And everyone's saying, go to Eugene, go to Portland. And I thought, maybe it's time to go back to California. I had been away for 13 years. My family was down there. So we moved on back, and I tried teaching. Where did they put me? They put me in a high school program, community-based, and my experience was all early elementary up through about third or fourth grade. So I was like, wow, you know, I wasn't ready for that kind of a transitional classroom, but I did it. We had a broom closet. The classroom was probably half this size. I brought a microwave from home. I brought a mini fridge from home, and we learned how to cook. We learned how to do very basic cooking. We'd walk to the grocery store, and we'd look to see, is this food microwavable or not? Let's look for that icon. Because my boys, I had three freshman boys. You know, they weren't readers. But what does that icon look like? And that's what we would do. And so it was, you know, we that was our classroom. And it was kind of, I had to build the curriculum. It was very, very difficult. I was the guinea pig. And so, of course, they had a different vision. They wanted to increase the caseload. And I'm like, not in this little tiny classroom. So I paved the way. And then they went through about three or four other teachers until they finally found somebody in a new classroom. They got the home ec classroom that I'd been begging for. They finally did that. So I was like, ooh, okay. Then I went to kindergarten. Loved it. But the kindergarten classroom where I taught, it was a back-to-basic school, so we didn't celebrate birthdays. It was all, you had to show your whole day of curriculum, you know, it had to be all academic. No, there was very little room for free time listed on your day planner. But my kindergartners had to go all day because they came from special day class preschool, which was an all-day classroom. But the kindergartners that didn't have disabilities got to do half day. So here I am, the only kindergarten teacher with a whole day of kindergartners, and it's just, I don't know, it was different. You know, I had several assistants in the classroom. I had a specialist trying to help train me for this classroom, but she was very, very not up to date with working with children with autism, and it was very challenging to work with her and try to explain to her the new, because things, so many things change. I mean, from being an instructional assistant in the 80s or late 70s in the 80s, what went on in classrooms back then, I will not mention on the air, to what is now, you know, more people first, you know, children first, families first, because that's how I've always felt. But back then, it was just a whole different frame of mind working with kids with special needs and in the classrooms that they had back then. Oh, a nightmare. But so I kind of kept checking different grades out. And then, I don't know, I next thing I know, I wanted to look into something else. I kind of got out of special ed and went into county day classrooms. So most of the kids had ankle monitors and records, and they were at risk. But I loved it. It was so, I'm like, I need to get a new credential. This is just amazing. And then they graduated me up to juvenile detention. So I had to go through the metal scanner in order to go into my classroom, count the pencils at the end of each class, and they were the rubberized pencils. They weren't wooden pencils because again, it was just something different for me. And then I got graduated to adult detention facility in Richmond. Yep, West County Detention Facility, and I got to teach adult basic education for men in the men's dorms, and then they had on the separate campus was the women. And so I kind of subbed in the mornings, and I taught in the afternoon, my regular class, and it was definitely different. again, counting pencils and making sure, I think towards the end, somebody had ripped a piece of the computer, what is that pad, the mouse pad. And in the shape of it was the shape of a shoe. Well, what had happened is his shoe, the sole of his shoe was worn out, and he somehow tore, he didn't have any scissors, but he tore just the shape of the insole for his shoe. And he got in trouble, unfortunately, for that, because I had to, you know, you got to report, look at this, you know,
inmate so-and-so was sitting at that desk, and then here's this, you know, insole cut out of the mouse pad. And so, yeah, he got busted. And sometimes the guys would be throwing gang signs, and it's like, it was a privilege to be in school, but they got sent out of the classroom and back to their dorms. So definitely it was, it was special ed in a whole different way because, yeah, whew. But, yeah, that was different. And then I was ready to leave the Bay Area. I was done. Then I came to Chico and did a little bit at Loma Vista, the developmental preschool, and that was kind of nice. But then I had a calling for nonprofits. I think I actually did work for the ARC for a little while, a couple of years, working respite with families, with children with disabilities, and then even if they had siblings without disabilities, we would go in the home and, kind of stay in the home while the parents could get out and have an hour or two to themselves. That was kind of cool. And then I did some more one-on-one, what do they call it? Instructional, I forget what the actual job title was. But I worked with adults with disabilities and ILS. Sorry, go ahead.
ILS, independent living skills.
Yes, yeah. And I did that with some adults where I would go in their home and then we'd, look at their budget. Oh, we're going to go grocery shopping today. Oh, you got paid. Well, how much is going to go in your bank account? And so it was fun. It's definitely, I could have had an ILS myself sometimes. I'm not very good with budgeting, but it was fun. It was just, one-on-one. I liked that. It was really nice. But along came Disability Action Center. And I've been here since February of 2018, so a year and a half. So, yeah, program specialist, independent living, which is very frustrating because there's not much housing out there, but that's okay. We're working on it. We're working on maybe a collaboration with another nonprofit. Can I say their name? Can I say no, maybe? Well, another nonprofit that we're looking at the master lease plan. Yeah. So we're almost out of time, actually. Wow, we did good. So did you have anyone have anything else to say?
No.
No. Are you better now?
Yes, I'm better now.
Well, thank you both of you ladies for stepping up. I really had a different vision. I really didn't have much of a vision how we were going to run this today, but Derek really gave us a lot of insight. Thank you for letting him share his story with us. And you two sharing your story about the agencies you both work for. And it sounds like maybe we might even get some collaboration going as well.
Yes, definitely.
I like that. That's very cool. So see, we're opening some more doors.
Yeah, you never know who you meet. Derek and I went out to dinner the other night and he had his service dog with him. And the lady there that was our waitress, she got talking about the service dogs, and then she was saying, yeah, I'm going to have to be having surgery because I forget what the condition was, but she has this condition. And she goes, I'm not sure what I'm going to do because I'm not going to be able to get around very well. And I said, and Derek looks at me, and I look at him, and I'm like, well, here's my business card. We have medical equipment that we could probably help you with so you can stay independent in your apartment. She goes, that's great. And so you never know who you're going to meet and mm-hmm. the connections you're going to make when you're out in the community. And I find that if you're open enough that you will always make those connections, and we've just made one here tonight.
That's great.
So
yeah,
it's great.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah. And I don't know, we're actually going to end early. Sometimes Dr. Gail has this plethora of people on her panel because she's got such interesting topics, and I'll come in and I'll be like, it's 6:58, and I'm looking, it's 59, and there's so many people again with so much information with whatever topic she's got going on. And I start my show late, but I might actually get to start on time today. So how fun. But this was fun. Dr. Gail, thank you for letting me do this. I'll definitely you had an article. We were going to read one of those poems, huh? I wonder if I'm going to be able to get that. Do I have time? I've got 3 minutes. Where was that? It was on a text. And, oh, man. Nope, maybe. It was an article about make no apologies for yourself. And maybe we can just tell people to Google that. It's it was from the New York Times, so if you can find that or contact me. Do I have a Facebook page? I don't know. I mean, if I have a... Yeah, find me on KZFR. I think you can find me that way. And the Groovy Grandma. I thought there was some really cool poems, and I'm not able to find them, so maybe we won't read them today. Darn. Oh, it showed the full article. There we go. I still have another minute and a half. Yeah, there was a lot of stuff on here, just different stories. Here we go. My eyes don't want to work for me today. Nope, I'm not going to be able to read that because it's too small and my eyes are going blinky, blinky. Unless she's thinking, okay, here we go. I'm going to pass the phone. Focus.
All right, it is called Meg Day. This is the good news, and we have a plan for you. Can you follow what I'm saying? Follow me, bless you. There's no need to. Doesn't this happen to you all the time? I said step in here. Why would you? Copy that. I'm here with you. Yes, I'm with now, like I was saying before. I'm not here to preach. You are what you are. Even Jesus wasn't believed. It's not like he could put some marker on his driver's license. Have you had the blank? My cousin had the blank, but the other way. Spread your wings a little farther down the line and would have... I don't know what this is. Okay, I'll just...